when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Blood River Radio listening family, thank you so much for hanging out. Like we said at the beginning of the program, this is United States Ship Liberty Month. Just in case you're tuning in, today is the actual day, June the 8th, 57 years ago, that the United States Ship Liberty was mercifully attacked by the outlaw apartheid terrorist state of Israel, and they tried with everything in their power to sink that ship. Said this the first of the hour, but I want to reiterate, it was done with the full knowledge of Lyndon Baines Johnson, may he rest in hell, and with this full knowledge of Defense Secretary Robert McNamara, may he also rest in hell. Not only did they know about it, they were complicit in the attack. And I'll repeat again what LBJ has allegedly said. I heard this good advice, good people who heard it. Lyndon Baines Johnson, he forced, I believe it was Admiral Geis, if I remember right, who was in charge of the aircraft carriers, that fleet. Admiral Geis launched fighter planes to go to the aid of USS Liberty. He was forced to withdraw those jets. Defense Secretary McNamara called him, Admiral Geis, straight on the horn. Said, you recall those damn jets, those fighter planes. Admiral Geist, God rest him, bless him, he told McNamara that he didn't have enough cojones and he didn't have enough brass. It's going to take somebody higher than him to recall those planes. Well, LBJ got in on the horn and said, and told Admiral Geist, you recall those damn fighter planes? He said, I want that goddamn ship on the bottom of the ocean. He said, I will not embarrass our Israeli allies. That's exactly what he did. But just in case you're just tuning in, this entire program is a dedication to our dead, our 34 dead brothers and sisters, Navy sailors and Marines. And we just, and one of our brothers, one of our precious brothers, Sam Dixon, he has consented graciously to come in and help out. We had a lot of changes at the last minute. And hopefully Sam can stay with us to the second hour. We pick up Nancy Hitt, and we'll pick up a few other topics. But this whole month is going to be USS Liberty month. If you will, Brother Ron, I know you wasn't there when you heard it, but if you can repeat the story, or if you want me to, I heard Phil Torney told me the same story. But if you will, go ahead and tell again what happened to the 18, 20, 22-year-olds sailors when four-star Admiral Kidd came on board. Tell him what he did, with complete with threats and everything else, if you will, Brother Ron. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, this is, you know, I don't do as well as Phil does on this because I just wasn't there. But anyway, this is Phil's words, and I think I have them almost word for word, is that the Admiral Kidd came in, removed his four stars, and asked the they said, did you talk to me just like you would to your father? Tell me the truth. And they all did it. They told the truth. And the truth was simply we knew Israel was attacking us. So they told the truth to him. He put his stars back on. And he simply said, I can't say this word for word, but he simply told them and threatened them. And that word threaten, I'm not going to take out of here because that's exactly what it was. 10 years in prison and a huge fine, or even worse. Now, that's the best I can put it. I believe that's how Phil has always said it year after year after year. He's never changed. He's telling the truth. Well, that's about it, Ed.
Well, I think Phil will be coming on next week with Larry Bowen, who he's been one of the past presidents of the Liberty Association. But he told me exactly the same story. People, we just said that we brought my brother Sam Dixon on. And Sam, if you will, say hello to our listening audience. Everybody knows you, Sam. And I'd like, if you will, to listen in to with Ron, with me and Ron, and ask some questions too, because you have a sharp mind, and I know you'll have questions I can't come up with. But I want you to share this emotional broadcast with us, Sam, and hopefully you can stay over to the third hour.
Well, this is a very interesting subject. Every once in a while in history, there's something that happens that is revealing, that reveals to people what's really happening, what's really going on, who the boss man really is, and the Liberty certainly was one of them. I was listening with great interest to what Ron said. I think I've heard the story before, but I don't think he completed it. Maybe I wasn't listening closely, but he said that they were threatened with 10 years in jail and worse, but he didn't explain what they had to do to avoid that punishment, unless I was listening wrong. And my understanding is they said that if they said anything, they ever revealed that Israel had knowledge, that the Israeli pilots clearly knew that it was an American ship, that they would go to jail for 10 years if they ever said that the story had to be suppressed. And Ron, am I right about that?
Yeah, I think I did omit that. Only excuse I might have is 84 years of age. But anyway, yes.
I'm only 6 years behind you, and I feel it. So I understand.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're still functioning, praise God. still working. So glad to meet you, Sam.
Well, I'm glad to meet you. the liberty, as you were explaining, you know, the only concern of LBJ and MAGRA, they had no concern about our own sailors. They had no concern about our own ship. Their only concern was Israel. And clearly that's because Israel called the shots. And then Lyndon Baines Johnson, old master, was not the American people, it was the state of Israel. And Agnew knew that also, and they knew who the boss man was. And when told to jump, they would ask how high on the way up.
And with that, we'll come right back to that thought, Sam. Don't lose your place after this brief commercial. Be right back, people. After this brief commercial, hang on to your seats.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Let me tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Here at Blood River Radio family, we have two fantastic people on right now. We have Ron Kukol, just in case you're getting tuning in. He's one of the survivors. He was on the United States ship Liberty 57 years ago. When the plane was attacked by our only ally in the Mideast, Israel. We've been talking about that just in case you just tuned in. And we also have my brother, one of the greatest men I know, Sam Dixon, and he's gonna be helping ask questions and things like that. And I just want him to participate in this. But, you know, Ron, I almost lost my train of thought, but we can talk about, if you want to, if you're able to, some of the details. I know Ron was, Sam, Ron was in charge of the rescue team, of the team that went down to the bowels of that ship to pull the dead bodies up, the arms, the legs, the heads. I can't believe our government did that to those people. But they had to go down the water. And Ron was, Ron, I think you told me that you were head chief of the body recovery team. Is that right, Ron?
Yeah, there was supposed to have been an officer, but we had no officers alive that could that had a clearance. You had to have a top secret clearance to go down there. When I say top secret clearance, I like to always say this along with it. How is it possible that three-fourths of the crew of the USS Liberty, who had a top-secret clearance, most trusted by their government, would ever lie and tell any falsehood about what happened during the attack. How's that even possible?
That's an excellent question. What about that, Sam?
Well, I don't quite understand what Ron is saying. Are you anticipating that the reason they were told to remain silent was fear that they would say something false? I think that the reason would be they would be afraid that they would tell the truth.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just making the point that I think three-fourths of the crew were, I call them the most trusted, because it wasn't easy to get a top-secret clearance then. I think they would go back into your family. Three generations, I believe that's what the FBI was said to my dad. That's how far back they went. So these men, honorable men, you think they could all band together and say and tell our government a lie? Yeah, to me, it's not even feasible in my mind.
Yeah, well, the government is not an American government. We have basically an occupation government, and we are the colonial serfs of that government. And so our government, the government, lies to us all the time. And what happened with the Liberty was an embarrassment to the people that run our government, and so they were going to suppress it. But I have a question that I have never had an answer to. I don't know if you can answer it, Ron, but what was the purpose of the Israelis in attacking the Liberty? What did they hope to get out of it?
To draw us into the war. We would have, if the Liberty would have gone down, and thank God it never did, it had gone down, they would have blamed it on Cairo and attacked them. That's what I've heard over and over. Can't prove nothing, just telling you what I've heard.
Yes, I've heard the same thing.
I've heard that too, but it seems very unlikely to me that all the men on the Liberty would have been killed if it went down. Somebody would have an inner tube. They're in the Mediterranean. They weren't in the frozen Arctic Sea like the Titanic. You know, a reasonably fit guy can float around in the Mediterranean for a long time, you know, 10, 12 hours. And somebody would have been alive to tell the story. So I don't know. Maybe they thought they could sink it. But I've also heard theories that the Liberty was a spy ship, was a signal ship, and that the Jews were concerned that we were listening to what they were, the fact that they were the aggressors in the war. But I don't think that would matter. I think the U.S. would do whatever Israel wanted under any circumstances. But Lyndon Johnson wouldn't have cared what they were saying. He was such a sociopath and so much under the control of anti-American people that I think they could have bombed Charlotte, North Carolina, and he would have still been on Israel's side. So there appears to be just almost no loyalty at all in these people that run our country to the founding stock of the American people. They may be loyal to the current settlers. They may be loyal to the colonists that are being settled here from Nigeria and Haiti and Mexico, but they're not loyal to us. So I can't figure out what the Jews wanted out of this. Maybe they were acted out of this the historic hatred for white Europeans. But that seems hard to imagine they would do something that foolish. I can't come up with an answer.
Sam, I have the answer to that. I've been told, and here's what was told me by the sailors, other sailors. Philip Torney, one of the fellows that we've been talking about, he was on deck there, and their plan was they were going to kill every sailor and marine on that ship. They had, matter of fact, they had chopper helicopters getting ready to board the ship with the Israeli commandos, fully armed.
Wow.
They were going to kill every living person, and also they were going to machine gun the rafts, which they did. This is a fact. They did machine gun rafts, and to this day, you talk about the gall and the arrogance. The Israelis have one of those machine gun rafts with holes on it on display in one of their museums. And what they did, they already had bombers, fighter bombers loaded with atomic bombs ready to bomb Cairo, because they were going to blame the whole thing on Cairo, and they were going to get the United States into yet another war for Israel, and they want to completely conquer that part of the Middle East and make it into their greater Israel. So that was what they were there. They took no chances. They were going to kill every living soul on that ship. That's what was told to me.
It's very hard to kill everybody involved. You know, it's really difficult to do. But maybe, I don't know. I have a current thing that is not as violent or as dramatic as the Liberty, but it does show how the people that we think are, quote, our elected officials, end quote, act. And that's from Georgia. At Emory University, some of the students were participating in a pro-Palestinian demonstration, and they were arrested. They're being criminally prosecuted for basically walking on the grass. And our governor, the Rhino Republican, Brian Kemp, sent the state patrol to Emory University to arrest these people. And all over Georgia, the phonies are talking about, well, we believe in freedom of speech, but, you know, you have to obey the law. And these people were off the sidewalk. Now, I live in Buckhead in Atlanta. During the Black Lives Matter campaign, mobs of black people attacked the neighborhood of Buckhead, which is an overwhelmingly white area of North Atlanta. And the same governor issued orders to the National Guard and the State Patrol not to interfere with the black rioters, to make no arrests, and to keep a minimum of 100 feet distance from these people, who did around $30 million worth of damage in burning and looting buildings in Buckhead. So that's all right. But the same man who's squatting in the governor's mansion now, giving interviews to the press about, well, freedom of speech, you have to obey the law. And these kids at Emory, they were on private property. They weren't on the sidewalk. Well, when it came to mobs of the George Floyd rioters coming into our neighborhood and burning buildings and looting buildings and stealing, none of that mattered to Brian Kemp. So it's like the Liberty. It shows how sacred, who is calling the shots to the governor of Georgia. He was not going to tolerate criticism of Israel. So he arrested those people. They're being prosecuted. He issued orders that not one single person be prosecuted for the Black Lives Matter riots. Now, 33 of them were arrested in spite of his orders that there be no arrests. I can't imagine what these people did. Most of walked up to the National Guardsmen and kicked them in the family jewels or something to make them arrest them despite the governor's orders. All charges were dropped. Not one single person was ever prosecuted for riots that were allowed to take place night after night after night. But they're going to prosecute these kids at Emory that demonstrate against Israel. So that just tells you what kind of a country we have.
Yes. Ron and Seb, I wish the whole time they were doing that, these kids had been protesting against Israel. I wish somehow we could get people to interject to add the United States ship Liberty and get those kids to demand justice for the survivors of the USS Liberty. And that's just the Levant affair, the blowing up of the King David Hotel, and just endless things that these Jews have done. But I can't imagine, Sam, and I always talk about these Judeo-Christians, especially the Southern Baptists, and I always say that saying you're a Judeo-Christian is like saying you're a virgin whore. You can't be with both, but I can't understand why they keep, no matter what. I have friends that I've sent this Liberty story to. I've tried to get an audience with Bellevue Baptist Church here. I knew what was going to happen. One of the largest churches, Baptist churches in the United States, and you might as well be trying to get a date with her mother or something. People, will be right back. We're going to the middle of the hour break. It's going to be a 5-minute break. Be right back, folks.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Tim Berg. President Biden is continuing his trip to Europe, the president traveling to France this week to commemorate the 80th anniversary of D-Day, the Allied invasion of Normandy during World War II. While traveling with the president, White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby provides an update on new military aid going to Ukraine as they work to defend their nation against Russian forces.
While they are still under pressure from the Russians, particularly in the east, that because they have now been able to receive the benefits of 5 security packages and now 6 coming, as the president announced today, that they have been able to thwart Russian advances, particularly around Kharkiv.
The heat is continuing to bake millions of Americans. USA's John Schaefer explains.
The ongoing heat wave that's been engulfing much of the West with triple-digit temperatures expected to last through the weekend into next week. Temperatures predicted to soar to their highest level since last summer across parts of interior California into Oregon and the Rockies, impacting a dozen states. John Schaefer, USA News.
Reaction is continuing to come in as President Biden signed an executive order aiming to slow down the flow of illegal immigrants into the United States. The action will prohibit those who enter the country illegally from applying for asylum once the daily number of encounters at official ports of entry tops 2,500. As far as if this executive action will help, retired Border Patrol Chief Chris Klem tells Fox News he doesn't think so.
There was nothing in this executive order that was securing the border, nothing that was given the resources to the Border Patrol agents, whether that was personnel surge of resources or any kind of infrastructure improvements under this order. So we're getting exactly what we expected, a big nothing burger, and it's not helping the situation at all.
This is USA News.
Greece is cheap,
but the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Smell of napalm in the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging out. We have Ron Kukal here. He was on the United States ship Liberty the day it was attacked 57 years ago. We also have my brother Sam Dixon. He's on, and hopefully Sam can hold over to the third hour. We've got two more segments with Ron. Ron, you told me you would like to talk about some of the men that you have such high admiration for. I believe Admiral Geis is one of them. You named another one of the officers too. Tell him why he apologized to you to the men. Go ahead, Ron.
Well, I'd love to have the whole country know that boot camp in the United States Navy was a life changer for a lot of young men. It was a life changer. My mother was arthritic. She couldn't hardly keep up with me. My dad worked all the time. So when I signed up, she told me one day, you can't stay in the house forever. You graduated from high school and you go find your own place to live. So she made me mad. And I said that afternoon, I was enlisted in the United States Navy. When I got to San Diego, stepped out of the bus, first thing I heard from people in the barracks, they had the windows open, and here we're coming in with our civilian clothes on. And they said to all of us, you'll be sorry. Well, I've never been sorry for 9 weeks. It changed my life. The United States Navy did that. And then they had me working under some of the finest men, some of the finest leaders, who always had my welfare in mind. I mean, when an officer would come to me and say, your officer material, yeah, follow my lead, and I would. And just after the attack, when the attack happened, I was just ready to go to limited duty officer program, and I just couldn't wait to do it. And the respect I have for those men still remains today. They were solid. They were behind you. You never had to worry about this. Say, well, I don't care what happens to that ship. I'm not going to embarrass Israel. They were never like that. I never worked for an officer like that. And so I would just like to commend those people that taught me how to become an adult male instead of a crazy teenager. I just can't say enough about it. I don't know what the service is like nowadays, but back then they made men out of boys. So then, of course, Captain McGonagall, I have the highest respect for that man. And we became such good friends after the attack was over and he was out of the Navy, I was out of the Navy. And what a fantastic man. And then Phil Turney, Joe Meadors, they almost define the word tenacious. Ernie Gallo, he defines the word tenacious. To work alongside these guys who had been trained by the U.S. Navy back in the 50s and early 60s is all I can talk about, and who will stand for this country. And I would like everybody to know that the USS Liberty survivors love this nation to the hilt. We love your family. We love our family. And we have stood for 57 years. We can prove it because of that.
Well, you're unusual. Love this nation. Because your association has kept this story alive, and there have been so many other incidents in which American servicemen of all the branches of the military have not kept these stories alive. When I was a kid, we had a guy that lived in our neighborhood who had been a soldier in World War II. He had fought from Normandy, he'd battled the Bulge, all the way into Germany. And he described how Dwight David Eisenhower ordered them to herd these pathetic anti-communist Russians and Ukrainians and Poles and others into boxcars to be taken back to be murdered by Stalin. And that these people were weeping, they were committing suicide, but Eisenhower was remorseless. He was determined that everybody that had left the Soviet Union would be sent back to Stalin to be murdered. Well, I've never heard, that was quite a story, but those people who were commanded to do that by Eisenhower, they never set up an association like you people did. They didn't keep the story alive. And there's hardly one American and probably 100 or 500 that knows that's what the future president of the United States did, and that's what our soldiers did. We don't know about that. But you're
saying that's
alive.
I think that was Operation Tail Hook.
Jump in there.
I was going to say, I think that was Operation Tail Hook, I believe, what Sam was talking about, I believe.
Kill Hall.
There you go. Operation Kill Hall. There you go. Oh, you know, Tail Hook, that was something the Air Force got, or the Navy Flyers got in trouble over. I got my terminology mixed up. That's true. I thought that was one of the worst things that anybody's ever done in history. But Eisenhower, we all know how he got where he was. He never fired a shot in battle. He was, you know, unlike the many, many senior officers he were promoted above. His mother was Jewish, of course. If your mother was a Jew,
I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that's true. But it doesn't matter. I mean, what he was is what he was. But it's appalling that someone like that could be elected president of the United States. But the media back then, as the media today, would never report the story. The story was killed. I mean, what is purported to be a free press, but like with the Liberty, there are certain stories that are never told.
Well, you know, his yearbook, West Point yearbook, his nickname, they called him the Swedish Jew.
But Kraft said it was a Jew. It was a joke. And I don't think he was from Kansas. His mother was a Quaker. I don't think that. But anyway, it doesn't matter to me anyway.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, we should be careful to confine ourselves. The only thing we have is the truth. We don't have the media. We don't have the banks. We don't have George Soros bankrolling us. The only thing we have is the truth. And if something's not definitely true, we need to confine ourselves to things that are indisputably true. Like what Eisenhower did and what our servicemen did. Large numbers of our servicemen participated in this horrific, shameful, terrible program. And this is a disgrace to America. It is a blot on the honor of America. And we as Americans tend to be self-righteous and think that we are more moral than other people, and we're not. And we need to be aware of things like this so that we will be less gullible when the military industrial complex tries to get us into these wars.
Go ahead, Ron.
I remember a time when my dad and mom and my uncles came home from World War II. I don't know. Ed, take over. I again lost my train of thought.
It happens to me all the time. Yeah. Also, since we're on Eisenhower, and since we're talking about how the highest echelons of the United States government, how evil they were to their own sailors and Marines by being in collusion with Israel and trying like hell to sink that ship, the USS Liberty. Well, you know, Eisenhower was not. He was not a defense secretary, he was not a president, but he was, at the time, a four-star general. I don't know when he got his fifth star, but he did get his fifth star. And he also, not only did he do that, that's not what Sam just said, is thoroughly documented. He also set up what's known, and I know Sam's heard this probably before I did, what they call the Eisenhower death camps for the surviving Germans. I've been told, like, I can't swear to it, but I've been told that almost every woman in Europe, not just Germany, but probably in Hungary, Poland, everywhere that the Russian, the Slavs, the excuse me, the Mongols, I've been told.
Call them Soviets. Don't call them Russians.
I stand corrected. Well, I was told that the white Russians were the battle-hardened troops. They weren't the ones that committed all the atrocities. And when we had Dresden Month, we had the fellow, I think it's Paul English, who was the voiceover for Hellstorm. He said that the white Russians coming through, the shock troops, would warn the people in Europe, specifically the Germans, to run like hell because the troops coming behind them were the Mongols, and they were hell-bent on raping every citizen in every woman in Russia, in Germany. We'll hit that point as soon as we come back. This is our last break of the second hour. Be right back, people.
Treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we have the last segment with Ron Kukol, one of the survivors of the United States Ship Liberty that was attacked 57 years ago. He's lived to tell the story. But Ron, this is our last segment we have with you. Where would you like to go from here, brother? What would you like to tell about now? What would you like to talk about the difficulty of being in chief of the body recovery team? I used to know exactly how many body bags they filled, but would you like to tell something about that? Or what would you like to talk about, Brad?
Well, I can't talk much about the body recovery because the answer is pretty simple of that. And my trauma doctor told me, Ron, I kept asking, I did it, but I can't remember. Well, she said, that's normal, Ron. We don't have a clue what happens to the brain or what happens to the man inside being that close to a torpedo when it explodes and then having to be in charge of the body recovery of his shipmates. And so for years and years and years, and I'm going to say it over and over again. Once I was down there, or maybe even before I got down there, the reason I can't remember is that I was only an instrument of God. God did it all. I was the instrument. And I would love this world. I just wish this world could understand what God has done for the USS Liberty. And he did it to show this world who these people really are. I have a real problem with condemning the whole country of Israel, because I know there's a lot of Christian people in there. And so it's hard for me to condemn the whole country, just the leadership. To me, it's just the leadership. And when I went down, I will go back a little bit to the body recovery. I went down, I tried to beg away from it first. I said, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. And I got that look from Captain McGonagall, and I know said, you don't question it, Ron. You go down and you do it. So I did go down and do it, but it wasn't me. It was not me, Eddie. It was God who did every bit of it. And if I could just tell this country what God has done for us and why we are still here, but it doesn't seem possible to tell them anymore. It's like talking to a brick wall, and I think Sam said the same thing pretty much. You can't get the, well, what does it say in Revelations? In the end times, the truth will be exchanged for a lie. And if we aren't seeing that, I don't know what it is.
The straight shall be made crooked, and the crooked shall be made straight.
Amen. I'm waiting to see that, and I keep asking God all the time, am I going to be around to see that? Am I going to get to see all this yet? Am I going to be lounging on the beach while they're out there in the lake of fire swimming around? I don't know. One thing about the lake of fire, and if it puts fear in you, let me put a little more fear in you. It's 24/7 eternally.
Let's get back to the Liberty. How many years was it before people on the Liberty could finally speak freely about the fact that Israel deliberately made this attack, and the pilots knew exactly what they were doing and were deliberately killing American soldiers? I know you were ordered not to reveal that, and LBJ and McNamara did everything they could to keep it away from the American people. But at some point, obviously, you and your crewmates began openly talking about this. How did that come about? How did you manage to break the silence? How many years went by, and was it an organized thing or a spontaneous thing with individual sailors?
What happened, Sam, was that Jim Ennis wrote his book, Assault on the Liberty. I think I can only speak for myself as far as understanding all this, but Jim wrote the book, Assault on the Liberty. And when that book came out, what happened to me was, okay, if Jim can put that book out, then I can go ahead and start telling the truth, and I can be more verbal about it. And that's what changed a lot of guys, I'm sure. And Jim Ennis had a lot of courage putting that book out there, a lot of courage. He's still alive today, but I don't know what kind of shape he's in. The book is what got everybody going, because it got out to the public, and so everybody just started talking.
Well, was the author of that book on the Liberty, or was he an ordinary,
yeah,
somebody who was interested? He was on the Liberty.
He was he was a lieutenant commander aboard the Liberty. He was a commissioned officer.
He was the one, he went to the Mustang program, I think you said, Ron.
Yeah, the Mustang program. I'm sorry. Was a warrant officer, I don't know how they did that, commissioned or warrant. He would have been warrant, because he went from the enlisted to the warrant officer program. Yeah. But he was there, and he saw all of it.
Well, you know, that poses my difference.
Go ahead, Sam.
May his name be held in reverence by future generations when the truth is finally made apparent to America, and we finally have a country of our own, which we don't have now, and we've really not had for a very long, long time.
You know,
I couldn't agree more.
Phil wrote a book too, didn't he? Phil Torney, didn't he write one called "What I Saw" or something like that, Ron?
I think it was Erasing the Liberty. I also have a book called Remember the Liberty. I had a mentor, Phil Nelson, who helped me get through this. And myself and Phil Turney and Ernie Gallo were co-authors with Phil Nelson on this. And Liberty Fellowship in Kalispell, Montana, can't even keep that book in stock hardly. They put in several books. They're gone almost immediately. So
wow.
If you ever want the book, Liberty Fellowship carries it, and I hope they do now. The man that did the main writing of that book, I just had dinner with him maybe about 3 weeks ago, and we no longer pay for the book out of our own pocket now. He said, Ron, you guys got to stop taking money out of your own pocket to do this. And, well, we've all done it. And so the proceeds from the book now are going towards helping us buy more books. And that takes a heck of a guy to do that, too. So we've been surrounded by some of the most fantastic people. I can't even remember them all anymore.
Well, Ron, if you will, get the title of that book one more time and tell our people how they can get it. I think you said Baldwin, it's to Pastor Chuck Baldwin. Is he the only one carrying that book? So if you will, give the title of the book, the author, and how they can get a copy of it, if you will, please.
The title of the book is Remember the Liberty, authored by the main author, Phil Nelson. The co-authors are Ron Kukal, Bill Turney, and Ernie Gallo. I suggest Liberty Fellowship because it helps them keep alive, because they've been telling the truth. Pastor Chuck has been telling the truth over and over and over again, and he had me up there to testify twice. My testimony can be found on libertyfellowshipmt.com. The book is reasonably priced. I don't know where they're at with it. I think they were at $15. They might have raised it a little bit. But what it does for me, and also, may I also say this really, I guess I got some time, but Rick Wiles, who has his own radio show, did the video Sacrificing Liberty.
Wow.
And they can also be funded.
I'm telling you flat out, I have that movie Sacrifice of Liberty. It's quite long. I was able to meet Matt Scal. Matt Scal was with the he's the one that did that, and I met him in Pensacola. He was with True News. He's no longer with True News. He was a genius movie maker. Too bad he couldn't be good enough to get his own Hollywood. But I can highly recommend our audience, if you can get the movie, CD, whatever it is, cassette, it's Sacrificing Liberty. It tells pretty much the whole story. It's hard to watch it. I had to do it in about three sessions because it's so emotional. It will make you so damn mad you can't hardly stand it. But that's a great one. It's Sacrificing Liberty. Well, we're getting close to the end of this hour, Ron. Larry Bowen said he wants to come next week. He has hip replacement Monday. Excuse me, knee replacement Monday. But he said he's planning on coming back next Saturday. I think maybe Phil Torney, you just mentioned, I think he's going to come. So I would like you to come back and be with them if you could.
I can. Yeah, Matt Scal, I can't say enough for that man.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah, Matt Scal was great. I met him. It was an honor. Well, people, we've come to the end of the second hour. We're getting ready to transition to the third hour. Mr. Ron's going to leave, but he'll be back next week. The third hour is going to be just going to be captured mainly by Sam Dixon, and we're going to bring on Nancy Hiss. She's got a lot to cover, and Sam can be making comments on that and interjecting his stuff. Be right back, folks. Go get your cup of coffee. It's a 5-minute break.